Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, Adam Abdallah in on a Thursday. And Adam, Twitter is not too kind to you, my friend, as your conversation about Cole Kmet got a little bit of a virality. I think virality is a word, right? Went a little viral yesterday as people were not too thrilled with you talking about the possibility of cutting Cole Kmet as a cap casualty. We got to break that down and really kind of just tell people to listen before you just flip tables over and just start throwing daggers at everything you see. Also, The Athletic ranked the top head coaching hires, and Ben Johnson does not top the list. A little bit surprising here. We got to react to that as well. All that and more in today's Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. What's going on, Abdallah? How you feeling, my guy?
I'm good. Listen, it's a day that ends in Y. That's why, I have the satisfied customers. I'm not, handing out, I'm not running a participation trophy thing here. I'm not running a popularity contest type of thing. So listen, if people want to read and not listen, and I think it was one dude that just like took a screenshot of Jonathan Hood and I, and just said, they're talking about cutting Cole Kmet on ESPN 1000 right now. And it's okay. Yeah, we were like, that's correct. But if you listen to the segment, the reason we were talking about cutting Cole Kmet is because there was an article in The Athletic about cap casualties for the Bears.
Kevin
and
Fitch,
guys,
man,
that could save them money. And it was like Walker, and it was Kevin Byard and Cairo Santos and all this kind of stuff. And so we were just looking at it and saying, how can the Bears spend some money and how can they get some more money back and attack all of these positions of need? And if you try to do everything at once, which I believe that they can, I think that the Bears can go out in this offseason and make an offer for one of these disgruntled pass rushers that might be available, or a team that's trying to reset, like Myles Garrett wants out. There's the rumor that Micah Parsons might be on the block, Trey Hendrickson, Max Crosby, one of those guys. They're going to want, in the situation of Micah Parsons, he's going to want $40 million a year. Okay, so you're trading, you're giving away draft capital, you're signing a dude for $40 million a year. Then you could go out, sign Trey Smith. He's probably going to want what? $20 million a year? Something like that? And then you're going to have to go out and try to sign Drew Dolman as a center. He's probably going to get $12 million, I think is what I saw around there. Something like that.
12 to 15 probably, yeah.
Yeah, 12 to 15, something like that. So you're talking right there about a decent chunk of change. So we were just going through the roster, and it was interesting to me and Jonathan Hood that Cole Kmet's deal is very, what's the word? I'm cuttable. Gonna make up a word. Get outable. Not cuttable. Like, he's not, like, it's get outable, right? They structured his deal where he's making $11 million a year. But if you cut him post June 1st, you save $10 million and only have to pay him $1 million. And this goes for this offseason, next offseason, and the offseason after that. You could do this anytime you want to. So all I said was, hey, Cole Kmet isn't a difference-making tight end. I think we can all agree on that.
I'm just kidding.
Exactly, right? He's not George. Oh, but when he gets targeted, he's got an 85%. Shut up, okay? Like, I don't care. Look at your numbers. I'm sorry that you spent money on a Cole Kmet jersey. Good for you, okay? My point was, if they needed to get $10 million more dollars at a position like defensive end, and that is a position of need, or, I don't know, the offensive line that everybody's been complaining about for the last, as long as I've been in existence for a Bears team. Okay, so why can't you find a tight end that's replaceable? You've got this offensive genius that is coming in Ben Johnson. He turned Sam Laporta into whatever. He had like 10 touchdowns 2 years ago, 8 touchdowns last year, something like that.
Yeah.
If he can turn Sam Laporta into that, why can't he just draft another tight end or sign another tight end? Why is my tight end making $10 million and not putting $10 million worth of production onto the field? Oh, well, Shane Waldron didn't use him. Okay, cool. It's not like the Bears were a top five offense and then Shane Waldron came in and they were a bottom five offense. They've been a bottom 10 offense forever. That's why we're in this predicament. So if you can save some money and find a dude, it was just in that like situation in a vacuum. You're looking for dudes to cut. Oh, I can save $10 million. Who is it? Oh, it's Cole Kmet. Okay. He's expendable. I'm sorry. He's not great. It's not, I don't hate Cole Kmet. He's a nice dude. He's a semi-productive player, but he's not a top five tight end in the league. And I feel like those guys that aren't top five are kind of expendable at this point.
Listen, and I talked about this today on The Breeze. We talked about it with Tyler Aki when he brought it up. Like, to me, there's a bunch of names I'm cutting before I get to Cole Kmet.
Of course.
Easily. Gerald Everett, gone.
Yes.
You save $4.5 million there. DeMarcus Walker, gone. You're saving, yes. You get $5 million there. Cairo Santos doesn't really save you much. That's kind of a different situation. You should have seen Aki's face light up when I brought him up. He's like, just cut him, please.
Yeah,
just,
dude, you need a better kicker. I'm sorry.
You need a better kicker.
Yeah.
Ryan Bates launched into the sun. Literally, goodbye. You save $4 million there. Kevin Byard is kind of where it starts to get a little iffy for me. I like the production out of him, but if I can keep a top tight end, I can live with the Bears finding DBs again. They seem to be ridiculously good at it. By the way, Dennis Allen is in the building, and Al Harris. They're really good at finding DBs. So I'm not too worried about the DB room. I would cut Kevin Byard before.
But shouldn't you feel that way? If you feel that way about Dennis Allen and Kevin Byard, shouldn't you feel that way about Ben Johnson and Cole Kmet?
I think my thing is not that I don't feel that way, but Cole is a productive enough player when targeted that I would rather keep him than most of the guys on this list to clear the money up. But if Cole is the difference in us being able to go out there and get Trey Smith, Drew Dolman, and Myles Garrett, Max Crosby, whoever it is, I don't think Micah Parsons is really a part of this because the draft capital you would have to spend probably would cripple you in that sense, but I'd pick up the phone and call.
Would it?
Probably a little bit. But
I'd be fine doing it.
He's 25. That's a big difference.
I'm making that move every day and twice on Sunday.
That's one where it's like, all right, we got to negotiate a little bit here. I think Myles Garrett is more, and ESPN came out with an article today. Brian Baldinger was talking about it, and he said Myles Garrett might not go for as much draft capital as you think he may go for. If you got a top 10 pick, you may just have to give a little bit more. Either way, if it's the difference between getting one of those guys and having a tight end, I'm choosing Myles Garrett. I'm choosing Max Crosby. I'm choosing the trenches. Doesn't mean I want to cut Cole, but if Cole is the difference, thank you for playing the work version of our game, Cole. We hope that you find a nice life probably with the Raiders because they love their tight ends up there.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that we have to trust. Listen, the Bears have done stuff that in the last offseason that they've never done before, right? They fired a head coach midseason. They're spending what we think is $13 million on a head coach per year, right? You're giving him a blank check to come in and hire whoever he wants to as coordinators and, you know, coaches and all that kind of stuff. So to me, you have to trust Ben Johnson. Yep. They have invested in Ben Johnson. If Ben Johnson comes in and said, I already got rid of DeAndre Swift when I was in Detroit, we let him walk. Okay, time to cut DeAndre Swift. If he comes in and says, hey, I need a better tight end and we can save money and I can allocate those resources somewhere else, you have to trust him. I'm sorry. I think that we as Bears fans are too tied to dudes that come from this like three states.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, he went to Notre Dame. Cool. I don't care where he went to college. It doesn't matter. This is the NFL. Like, look at what the Patriots used to do. The Patriots, and I'm not saying that Cole is over the hill or anything like that, but they used to get rid of dudes all the time to adjust their cap and fix what they needed to. And they ended up winning how many Super Bowls with Tom Brady? Like, you have to sometimes sacrifice good players. When Ryan Poles came in, he was trading dudes left and right. He was eating dead money left and right, and nobody batted an eye. They got rid of some really good players. And we were like, oh my God, how are you ever going to replace Roquan Smith? How are you ever going to replace Khalil Mack? Okay, you have to find a way. Oh, yeah. How are you going to replace Cole Kmet? Okay, he's the top 10 tight end. That means that there's nine other dudes ahead of him, and you supposedly have this offensive genius that can turn anybody into a star. Trust him to find a tight end. Draft one. Sign another tight end and turn him into Cole Kmet. I just don't think that Cole Kmet has proven that he is worthy of, and I'm not saying like I wouldn't cut him right now. I think that they should keep him for the year, see how he works with, if you're going to cut this part, because I don't want to get the hate anymore. I'm sick of getting all these notifications. Okay.
No, you're going back on what you said,
I'm not. No, I'm not. I would give him a year to figure it out, because next year you have the same option. Yep. Next year you can save $10 million, cut him after next year, after this season, and only pay him $1 million if he works out. He's supposed to be this great offensive threat. Okay, 2 years ago he had like 7 touchdowns. Awesome. Like, he's replaceable. I'm sorry. He is replacement level tight end. That's exactly where he is. So to say he's this awesome player that we can't afford to get rid of, I don't see it. I'm sorry. He's a nice guy. He's a productive player. It doesn't mean he's not replaceable.
I just, my only thing is, if are we getting rid of him for the right reasons? That is the one, right? By the way, he's not Greg Olsen either, guys. Like, I keep seeing that. Like, remember the last time we got rid of a tight end? He's not Greg Olsen. Like, when we got rid of Greg Olsen, we were like, wow, this guy has the opportunity to be like a ridiculously good tight end.
And that was because the coach didn't want to use him. That's a completely different reason.
Well, that was because he couldn't block. And Mike Martz was like, well, you can't block. You're not a tight end.
Cole can block? Since when?
Oh, Cole can't block. No, Cole can't block. That's the other thing. He's not Greg Olsen. But here's my thing. I don't want to just get rid of him to save the money, because I do think he could be a productive tight end in Ben Johnson's system. My thing is, if he is the money that you free up, that yes, you can go out and you can make all of these moves with the current cap space that you have, and even by cutting these guys, it does open things up. You have to sign rookies. You have to sign players throughout the offseason.
You got to give Kyler Gordon some money.
People that are on your team, you have to give Kyler Gordon some money. If it is the difference. And when we're talking about impact, right, you have to rank this. Is Cole Kmet a top 10 tight end in the NFL right now?
I mean, statistically, people have been sending me graphs and all this kind of stuff that, yes, he is a top 10 tight end when targeted.
I would. There are 10 tight ends I would take above Cole Kmet.
That's my point. Easily. He's replacement level.
Kyler Gordon may be.
He is a zero war player. He is replacement level tight end.
At the end of the day, if I'm picking between Kyler Gordon and Cole Kmet, Kyler Gordon may be the best nickel DB in the NFL. He legitimately may be the best nickel DB in the NFL. I'm going to pay him for Dennis Allen's defense.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I have to have money for him. I have to have money to allocate to the rest of this team and bring in these big names. That's why Cole Kmet is a conversation. Not that anyone wants to cut Cole.
No, I think he can be a productive player, and I'm willing to give him the year to see how he fits, as long as that's what Ben Johnson wants. Yeah. Everybody wanted Ben Johnson to coach the Bears. Now you have to trust him to make personnel decisions, because everybody doesn't want Ryan Poles making personnel decisions either. So pick a lane. If Ben Johnson comes in and says, guys, I've looked at the tape the last few years. We faced you the last, you know, however many years in Detroit twice. I don't see it with him. I see an upgrade in the draft. I see an upgrade in free agency. I'm sorry. You're going to have to find somewhere else to put your Cole Kmet jersey. And maybe they'll trade it in. I don't know.
For all the people who are like, look at how Ben Johnson used tight ends in his scheme in Detroit. You can't get rid of the tight end. Ben Johnson already said, this scheme will not be like the scheme in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean he won't utilize the tight end in a similar way, but he's building a new scheme for Caleb Williams. He's building a new scheme that makes Caleb Williams comfortable. Caleb Williams didn't target the tight end heavily. Not to say he didn't want to, not to say that he couldn't get to Cole, but he didn't target Cole Kmet heavily. That may not be a part of the scheme based on the quarterback that you have.
Mm-hmm.
You also have to take all that into account as well. So, listen, no one wants to get rid of Cole Kmet, but if he's the difference in signing Myles Garrett, bye-bye Cole.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the case. If you can accomplish getting Myles Garrett, Trey Smith, and Drew Dahlman, and you're like, guys, we got to cut Cole because that's $80 million in cap room that we need to fill up, and whatever, we can maneuver signing bonuses and deferments and deferred years and dead years and all that kind of stuff. We still got to make a move. then fine. Like, I'm not going to lose sleep over Cole Kmet, and I'm sorry if you're going to. Like, I'm sorry they traded your favorite player. Get a Jack Sanborn jersey.
Listen, there are people losing sleep over the fact that we don't like Torrey Taylor. You know what I mean? that I wouldn't have drafted a punter in the fourth round. There are people losing sleep over that. Meanwhile, I'm watching Bucky Irving.
People that are mad that they got rid of Montgomery. Like, it's just the town, man. It's the city. I'm glad that the fans have passion, but it's the NFL. Like, you can't love these dudes. Like, I'm sorry. They get moved aside, and they get pushed aside, and they get traded, and they get cut. It's a horrible business, but that's what it is.
And I think you said it perfectly, right? The Bears are doing things differently than we've ever seen them do it before. And if you believe that this different is the right path, you kind of got to see this path through. I'm not telling you that Ben Johnson's going to cut Cole Kmet. I don't think he is.
I don't think he is. I don't think it's going to happen. I think they're going to give him the year. Yeah. I think they're going to see how it works. And if it works, he'll be great and productive. And people will tweet me throughout the season every time he scores a touchdown. Awesome. Cool. It doesn't mean that the conversation we're having, because it's time to restructure the cap and you're trying to create as much money as possible going into free agency in a month, and you're trying to make sure that you can go after everybody that you do, because if you want to get mad at anybody, get mad at Ryan Poles, because you have messed up the entire offensive line and messed up most of the defensive line, and now you have to throw money at the problem. So don't get mad at us for having the conversation. Get mad at Ryan Poles for making us have the conversation.
My favorite thing now is the conversation on, dude, you have to draft linemen. Like, you, there's no way. You, like, the whole draft should just be linemen. I'm just like, guys, have you seen the linemen he's drafted? Like, I get, don't stop swinging. He does need to draft linemen.
Yeah.
But we can't go into next offseason just relying on the drafted linemen that we got. Do we need to run through who we've got on both sides of this line that he's drafted? Like,
no.
It's one of those things for me where it's like, you have proven pieces here. You're going to have to spend money on them. And I'll be honest with you, you may not get Trey Smith now. After the Super Bowl, if you got to pick between Trent McDuffie and Trey Smith, I'm picking Trey Smith.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you have to go out and actually make a splash at offensive line. And I think you need to, I don't know what they're going to do at defensive end. You know, looking at some mock drafts and stuff, there's going to be guys available at defensive end, whether it's in the first at 10 or it's at, you know, it high up in the second round. There's going to be options. They better be picking up the phone and calling all of these teams that have pass rushers available. You know, there's a rumor today that the Steelers called about Trevor Lawrence. If the Steelers are calling about Trevor Lawrence, you pick up the phone and call about every available pass rusher that there is and just see what it costs. Simple as that.
And that's really where I want everything to start at. Just have the conversation. Because to me, having the conversation is, then you know, okay, kind of what range are we willing to spend? I think it tells you about yourself as well. What range are we willing to spend to try and get somebody who's going to impact the team that way? If we are willing to spend, and I've said this a couple of times, if you're willing to spend on Miles Garrett, if you're willing to spend on Micah Parsons, but maybe the team doesn't want to trade with you or they go somewhere else, I'd be willing to spend to move up and go get Abdul Carter.
I'd be
willing to spend big to go.
Not at one.
Probably not at one.
If he falls to five or lower, yes.
If you get into that like 3, 4, 5 range, like, I'm willing to, because now you're still talking about trading that insane draft package probably, but you're getting the guy on the best contract that you think
there's always the unknown. Right?
There's always the unknown.
We know Micah Parsons is great. We know that when Parsons is at his best, I can make the argument he's the best defensive player in the NFL. I know that that's fact. And I know that he's only also going to be 26 next year when the season starts. So it's not like you're bringing in a 30-year-old like with Miles Garrett. You're bringing in a 26-year-old. I understand that Abdul Carter is a lot younger, but there's still the small percentage of the unknown, whereas with Parsons, I know what I'm getting.
But see, I think the problem is, right, that's kind of the route that we've taken.
But
I don't know if Ryan Poles gets afforded that right anymore.
But you can, though. That's the point. In 4 years, if Caleb's the guy, you're going to have to shell out $70, $75 million for him. Yeah. Because every year until then, a new quarterback is going to get more and more money. This is when you can pay a guy $40 million and take this swing. This is when you're allowed to do that because you're not paying your quarterback X amount percentage of the salary cap. And the way quarterbacks are going, Dak's a $60 million guy. Next guy's going to be 64, 65. Next guy's going to be 68. Next guy's going to be 72. And then in 4 years from now, Caleb might be 75.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that when you get to this point where you bring in the head coach, you think that Caleb's going to be the guy, your defense for the most part is set. That's when you go out and you be aggressive and you get, I get the alert from Adam Schefter that the Bears have traded this year's first, next year's first, a third and a fourth, and they got back another third or something like that, or a second. I don't know. I'm just comparing it to the Khalil Mack trade from, you know, a few years ago when they did that when Trubisky was here. The problem was then Trubisky sucked.
Trubisky was here.
He was bad. Exactly. Caleb Williams is already better than Trubisky.
You're also in a completely different spot to make a move like that, where whatever the move is, in the draft, in free agency, in via trade, because you didn't give up the world to get Caleb Williams. You gave up the world to get Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
You kind of got the world to get Caleb Williams. Now, you've kind of screwed up some of those picks, but you got the haul.
Yeah.
And you got Caleb Williams. Like, to
me, this is the time, too, where, like, I want all the analogies. I want the cake. I want to eat it too. I want the cherry on the sundae. I want the extra twist. I want the sprinkles. I want everything.
Extra twist.
Because you can't. Well, it's an old Jerry Angelo thing. Everybody wants a sprinkle, a little twist. it's an old Angelo thing. So I want everything. Go out and trade for Micah Parsons because anybody you're drafting, unless it's Abdul Carter, isn't going to be as good as Micah Parsons. If you make that move, if you sign Trey Smith, if you sign Drew Dalman, if you still have your 2 second-round picks that are very high up, you still have the rest of your picks, I don't see why you can't address enough holes in this draft that you can't be a wild card team this offseason. You have to be. If you go out and make those moves and you've got the best offensive mind in the game, supposedly, that is coming to your team from the coordinator standpoint, I'm not comparing, like, obviously there's head coaches that are already better than him, but I'm saying from a coordinator standpoint coming in, then you better be a wild card team because the Vikings have a rookie quarterback, Jordan Love is hit or miss, and the Lions just lost 7 of their coaches. Why can't you be a wild card team?
Well, and I think, but that, see, that to me is the reason why I'd be more willing to take the chance in the draft, though, right? We talk about like trading the picks and stuff like that. Like you think about the defensive line that you've let get by. You could have had Montez Sweat, and you could have paired him with Jared Verse and Jalen Carter. You went Rome Odunze, you went Darnell Wright. I think Rome's going to be really good. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. Right. I've seen the flashes. I haven't seen the consistency. He's now probably going to be number two, maybe your number one wide receiver coming into the season. We'll see what ends up happening there. Darnell Wright, I think, is good, but he's usually next to 4 fried turds. So it kind of never looks like he's doing what he's doing because there's usually a lot of people going past him. So to me, like where you've missed that, I see a defensive player of the year. I see a guy who's an elite player in the Super Bowl who absolutely just helped his team win their second Super Bowl in, what's it been, 8 years? Something like that. However, whenever Nick Foles won his. Like, that to me is a tough pill to swallow. I'd be willing to say, you know what? We can't miss on one of those guys again. I was going to spend on Miles, but I know I got to pay this guy in a little while. I was going to spend on Micah, but I know I got to pay this guy in a little while. I'll take the big swing. Let's go get Abdul Carter. Let's go get Mason Graham, who I don't think is falling to 10. Like, I think both the defensive guys might be gone before you get to your pick.
See, I think the problem with the one hesitation I have with that is there's two of them, I guess, technically, is one, like, the Rams have built a sustainable team with the F the picks theory. You know, they just seem to find guys late.
Just keep kicking that can down the road.
Exactly. Just keep kicking it down the road. That's fine. I'm fine with that. And the other problem is I don't trust Ryan Poles to make those picks to fix this team. You know, hopefully with Ben Johnson around him and Dennis Allen, he's able to make you know, he's made quality defensive picks with Matt Eberflus here. And I don't know if that's because he's just good at picking defensive guys, or maybe that was Matt Eberflus' influence. And now you've got Dennis Allen and that influence.
Yeah.
But also, like, do we know he's going to pick good players in the second round? Like, the first round pick is going to be obvious, just like it was with whether he took Jalen Carter or traded down and got Darnell Wright.
Yeah.
Because if you took Carter, we might be talking about replacing five offensive linemen as opposed to replacing three offensive linemen.
This is true.
You know, so I think that I'm willing to right now in the year 2025 with a quarterback, because like you have to factor in all the different things. You've got a quarterback on a rookie deal. Ryan Poles hasn't proven anything in the draft. You have an opportunity to take advantage of a division that might regress back to the mean a little bit. I don't think you're going to have a bunch of 15-win teams again, you know, in this division. So I think that you can take advantage of this and make the swing now. And I don't think anybody's going to fault you for it if, you know, because ideally, if you're a wild card team, that pick next year that you're giving back to the Cowboys in the first round is like low 20s, you know, 24, 23, yeah, something like yeah, that. So at that point, again, you're drafting a 20s and then 27-year-old Miles Garrett, or not Miles Garrett, Micah Parsons. I'm fine with that. That's fine with me. You know, because he hasn't proven that he can pick dudes in the third round. He's using fourth round picks on guys that can't play from Yale. Like, what are we doing? Like, he can't. He's using fourth round picks on punters. Take the picks away. Get proven players.
See, I don't know if that's the path either, though, right? Like, he is the GM. You got to draft. I get the kick the can down the road mindset, but that started because they had drafted a complete team, and the problem was the quarterback.
And the if Ian Cunningham gets a job, you get a couple more picks.
You do get picks. You do get picks. Like, I think teams that are usually sustainable and usually are in winning situations and don't, you know, end up in bad spots are the ones that draft well. Ryan Poles got to draft well. It's not, I think that he's just been too hit or miss and he's been too cocky. And I would hope that he's learned that lesson.
I think he has
a different mind in there as the coach. You also have a different mind in there as the defensive coordinator going, we're not taking punters in the fourth round. I would bet you pretty highly that we're not taking a kicker anymore in the draft.
No, I think so. But I also think you have to take advantage of what's presented to you. You have two of the best defensive players in the league available.
Yes.
Presumably. Yeah. Right. And that doesn't happen every single year. It doesn't happen that, you know, you get the disgruntled wide receiver every single year, you know, and you try to take advantage of that if you can. You know, we talk about it all the time in the NBA. Look, all these guys are going to be up. Someone's going to be disgruntled. Maybe Giannis is mad this year and he wants out. Right. You have to set yourself up to be ready. I think the Bears have done a really good job this year of setting themselves up to be ready if a guy wants out. And right now, Miles Garrett wants out. And Micah Parsons is presumed to be available if the right offer is there. So take advantage of it.
Does Miles Garrett feel real to you, though? That's the Parsons one does not feel real. It feels Cowboys.
Well, listen, you can say all you want to, but at a certain point, you can't pay everybody. Like, you still have to field a 53-man roster, and you can't pay everyone.
I mean, like, we say this every year.
But I don't know if the Cowboys are smart enough to figure out how to kick the can down, you know? I don't know if he's available. Garrett seems real because Garrett seems like a guy that sees he's only got 4 or 5 solid years left and he wants to try to win something. And I think that, you know, if you get him to come here, he sees Dennis Allen as a legit, you know, one of the best defensive coordinators in the NFL, a team that, you know, could be like the Seahawks, where if they spend a bunch of money with their rookie quarterback, they could maybe make some, you know, do something in the next couple of years. They've got the cap space. They could pay him, you know, $38-39 million a year. I might not give him 40 because of the age, but I'm giving him, you know, more than Bosa gets, which is 34.5. So I think he's real. I think Garrett gets moved.
Do you think there was a little chess played by the Bears there? Where, you know, the defensive line coach that we signed was Miles Garrett's assistant defensive line coach his second year, the year where all of the sacks came in. I don't know if Jeremy Garrett is the answer. Also, I don't believe any relation there, by the way.
I don't think so. I just think, you know, if he goes to a team, it's going to be like, I saw the Lions as an option. Like, that scares me.
Yeah.
Like, let's not do that. Yeah. But if it's good enough for them, why isn't it good enough for us? You know,
what gets scary about this too, is because the Lions are an option, and because, you're kind of in this situation where you, for you to keep getting better in the division, you have to make sure teams don't. The bidding war for a Myles Garrett would scare me. And the Bears usually don't win bidding wars. They usually kind of bid against themselves, where it's like, oh, Chase Claypool, I'll give you a third for him. You know what? How about a second?
Yeah, I think that with this, though, you could get away with a first, maybe a second next year. And maybe like a, you know, you throw in seventh round picks like they're candy, just whatever. How many do you want? I don't care.
Seventh round picks are the second round picks of the NBA.
Yeah. Like, have the next three. I don't care.
Second round picks traded for. Like,
that's 18. Fine. Yeah. I'm fine with that. I don't think it takes two first round picks to get him. I think it takes one and a high second, maybe a high third also. But I think you can get away with just one first round pick.
How Brian Baldinger was talking about it today was essentially, if you have a top 10 pick, it's going to go higher because you have the age on Myles Garrett. He's
yeah.
30 in December, right? So,
yeah.
Which to me, I'm like, are people dead after 30 now? Like, is this, it seems to be the new theme. He's only
like a Hall of Famer. Like it, so, you know,
he's only been like a Hall of Famer every year, but yeah, he'll die.
But he's 30. Probably only got like three like real years left. You know what I mean?
Dog, players
he's
like
not a quarterback, he gets hit. You know what I mean?
I always say this though, right? There are certain players where to me those rules kind of don't apply. Myles Garrett feels like one of those players. He feels like one of those, like Reggie White, right? Reggie White goes to the mm-hmm. Packers at 32. He's still ridiculously,
yeah,
the arguably the best defensive player in the NFL at that time, and he's mauling, and they end up winning a Super Bowl and all of that.
Yeah,
I think he's one of those players where it's like, sure, I'm not worried about 4 years down the road. I also think,
well, you're only probably giving him a 4 year deal. You know, if he comes in,
right,
you're giving him, you know, 4 years, 38, 39 million. That's fine with me. If the last year he only has, you know, what Sweat had in sacks this year, okay, I'll take it.
Yeah.
As long as the first 3 years are double digits, sure, whatever.
Give me 16, 16, 16, and 8.
Because at that point, 2 and 4 years, like, you might be, Myles Garrett might be a cap casualty because I got to give Caleb $75 million.
And you know what? I think that's the thing too, right? It's like, if you can get it for one first round pick,
you do.
You still have full control moving forward. You can draft who may be the next Myles Garrett the year after this, or who may be the next offensive lineman of the future for you the year after this. Like, there's a ton of opportunity for you. I think you have to go with the guys who are some proven answers here. And I would love a Myles Garrett. I'd love a Micah Parsons. I wouldn't be mad at a Max Crosby either. I'm in on all three.
Yeah, I don't know why everybody's... The only one I think I'm out on is Trey Hendrickson. That's the only one I think I'm
Trey's
like, no.
Trey's going to be 32 to start the year?
Yeah, that's the problem.
You go Trey to me. One, Trey probably doesn't cost you a first-round pick. You go Trey to me if you feel right, like in the second round, you've got the next Trey.
If they had won 8 games and were like one game away from the wild card, Trey Hendrickson is fine.
Yeah.
Only winning 5 games and being this far away from winning. Sorry, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, a long way to go. Hey, this was a great conversation and we went way too long. So we'll save that NFL insiders ranking the best head coach for another episode. Maybe do it tomorrow with whoever ends up on there.
One more thing.
What you got?
I don't want to trade Cole Kmet or cut Cole Kmet.
No,
I don't want to do it.
That's not what you said. It's not what you said.
You might have to.
I heard you hated Cole Kmet. You wanted to cut him. And no, that's my favorite thing about doing this is going to the comments after and being like, I don't know if you posted this the second the video started or if you posted this like 10 minutes in after I said it.
I'm no, they posted before you just the clip. Didn't hear it longer than the clip has been out. They post it a second after the clip comes out. This clip's 2 minutes. You haven't even had time to watch the whole thing. And I knew, and here's the thing, and I know Eric's in the room. The second I said it, I go, this is going to come back to bite me in the ass. I know it is. I know it is because the short is going to be made and I'm going to get hate because I know it's going to come back to bite me.
It's going to start by you just going, I'd cut Cole Kmet. And then it's going to be the full clip. And everybody's going to be like, Adam, you son of a...
The header is the Bears need to cut Cole Kmet. And I'm like, all right, guys, come on.
We got a nice team that knows how to clickbait out here, man. Hey, man, we appreciate you guys for tuning in and showing love. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. For Adam Abdallah, we appreciate him coming on the show as always. It's your boy Pat the Designer back at it again. Adam does want to cut Cole Kmet, in case you were wondering. Y'all stay safe out there in Chicago. Bear down. One love. Peace.